All right, good afternoon, everybody. This is the time of day, every day when I was in school, that would be nap time, right after you eat. And, well, that's why I'm now a carpenter and not a teacher. So the outline you have in your folder, like most of the other guys, it's not exactly super accurate, but it's kind of general guidelines. Some of the texts we'll be looking at, some we won't be. We'll look at our Bibles for a couple other ones and stuff, but before we begin, let's pray here. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together and study your word, Lord. We thank you for the gift of prayer. It is a true gift that you've given us, so we can come before you as your children and bring our needs to you, and that you've promised that you hear them and that you answer them according to your will, Lord. And we do know that sometimes you don't answer our prayers, and sometimes it's hard for us to understand why and how to deal with that. But Lord, I ask you to just help us over this next time, little bit of time here to see what your word has to say about these things and help us find peace in the times when our prayers are unanswered. And I just ask you to just give us wisdom now, Father. Minister to us all, Father. I pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. So we have obviously been talking about prayer a lot, and a lot of the verses I'll be looking at and drawing your attention to have already been mentioned today, but that's good because they should be very fresh in your minds. Prayer really is a wonderful thing. The fact that we can speak directly to God, the God who is the creator of the universe, the God who is omnipotent, the God who is omniscient, the one who is sovereign over all, who ordains all things, who orders all things. He hears when we come and talk to him. We ask him for things. We ask him to work in our lives. We ask him to show us his will, and he answers our prayers from time to time. We ask him to help us with things. We pray for other people. We've looked at a lot of those things already today. And Jesus encouraged us to come to God with our needs. If I think in your packet is the Matthew 7 passage. That's what I'm going to be reading. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to you, to those who ask of him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. And this is the law and the prophets." So Jesus is encouraging us to come to God with our needs, come to him with our positions or petitions. And he wants us to come to him. He's most willing to answer our prayers. He's most willing to hear our needs when we come to him. Jesus also mentions this in John chapter 15, verse 7. He says, do we have PowerPoint or no? Okay. He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will desire and it shall be done for you." So these are pretty powerful words coming from his mouth. And truly, if you take these words at face value, you begin to believe that God will answer and give us everything that we ask him for. And that's simply not true. In fact, we know this from experience as believers that there's times we pray for things and they just don't come true. They don't happen. But the sad thing is there's a lot of false teaching out there today that teaches along the lines that if you pray to God, if you come to him with enough faith, He will answer every one of your prayers. And if God doesn't answer your prayer, that's a sign that you don't have enough faith. And this can be really detrimental to people, especially new believers and young Christians who, sure, that teaching sounds attractive and may seem like it fits in your life while you're going through the good seasons, but then if you hit a time of trial or a time when you're really crying out to God for help and you're seeing your prayers not being answered, and then you begin to look inside and say, well, goodness, maybe I don't have enough faith. Maybe I don't believe what I'm trying to pray for. And then that believer cries out to God for more faith, not even realizing what true faith is, and that prayer doesn't get answered. And then they become downcast and discouraged, and sometimes even feel like they're an unworthy and awful Christian, if they're even a Christian at all. Maybe they've been completely deceived. So it's a very dangerous thing to take the teaching at face value and say, well, everything that I ask for, God is going to give me, because we know that that's not exactly true. And that's why it's good to have a good, healthy understanding of what unanswered prayer really is and why God doesn't answer prayers sometimes, because there are reasons why, and we're going to look at some of those. But the other problem with that is, first we have to look at something. We have to look at the fact that God is sovereign. God is sovereign over everything. He is, he ordains all things. He plans all things out, and His will always prevail over our will and our desires. So let's look at some of the reasons why prayers go unanswered. First off, like I said, God is sovereign, and we have to realize we don't know what His will is. We don't know what He's ordained for our lives. We don't know if He's chosen for us to get the job opportunity we've applied for. Or we don't know if He's ordained for our loved one, for instance, to win a battle against cancer or another illness. We don't know if He's ordained for the trial that we're in the middle of to end next week or to last for months or even years. We simply don't know. But we do know one thing. We do know, according to what Jesus says in Matthew, that we are called to ask, to seek, and to knock. We're called to ask God for the things that we want to see happen. We're called to seek His wisdom, to seek His will in our lives. We're called to knock over and over again for however long it takes until the door is opened. But then the question comes, what if that door is never opened? What if we pray for something for years and years and years and we don't see that come to pass? How do we deal with that? And that's what we really want to look at this time. And it's a hard truth, but it is true. And the answer really is we really shouldn't worry about whether or not our prayer is going to be answered or not. Because what we really need to do is we need to trust our Father. We present Him with our prayers, we lay them on Him, and then the hard thing to do is to then let Him take them and let Him do with them as He will. But that's what we really need to do. But the one thing that is really a comfort when we do that is to know that God does hear all of our prayers. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 12, Peter writes, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So we know with confidence that God hears our prayers. Every time that we speak to Him, He hears it. And that alone should be a comfort. Because we know we're not praying into open space. We know we're not praying to a God who is calloused or doesn't listen to everything we say. But even though he does hear, there still are times when these prayers just don't seem to be answered. And this is a hard thing for believers and all Christians to face, because it's at this time that we a lot of times see the devil come into play here. When God chooses not to answer something that we're praying for or asking for, a lot of times the devil likes to swoop in and put foul thoughts into our minds. He likes to come and tell us, you know, God isn't listening to you. God doesn't care about this thing that you care so much about. God doesn't hear you at all. In fact, God doesn't even love you, or else he would answer this prayer. Maybe he's not even real at all, and you're just casting your prayers into space. But we now are all experts on Ephesians chapter 6, and what are we to do? Put on the whole armor of God. When the devil comes at us, we use the armor of God to beat him back. We use the truths of God. We know that he is indeed listening. We know that he indeed loves us far beyond our comprehension or any amount of love that we could ever have inside of ourselves. We also know that he works all things together for our good. These are the things that we need to draw comfort upon, and we need to rely upon when the devil comes at us, because he will come. It's hard. When prayers go unanswered, we are very vulnerable to the thoughts of our own mind, but then his temptations that cause us to doubt and to become despondent, and we need to protect against those. Another thing that came to my mind as I was meditating on this is, have you ever thought that it's probably really hard for God to not answer our prayers sometimes? And I thought about this, because God is our Father, right? So think of a good, fair, just human father who has a little child. For sake of illustration, think of a little boy. And that little boy comes running up to that father and says, "Dad, I've got this thing all planned out that me and you should do together. Tomorrow, we should go do this, 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 this." He's got the whole thing worked out. He's been imagining it all morning. He's super excited about it. And he comes to you with this. And you know that this plan is not going to work out. You know this plan isn't good for him. You know that there's something even much better that could come about the next day. So you have to tell that little boy, "No, I'm sorry, we can't do that." And you see the despair on his face and the sadness in his face. And it almost breaks your heart. You know, sometimes I think, I don't think it's attaching something wrong to God to say that God doesn't find pleasure in not answering our prayers. You know, when we come to him with things that are important to us, things that we really want to see happen, and he has to choose, you know, that prayer just doesn't fit in his will, I think we should take comfort in the fact that that's hard for him to do. He would love to answer every one of our prayers, but he knows that it's not a part of his ultimate plan, and it's not always for our own good, even though we certainly think it is sometimes. Sometimes he simply has to say to us, you know, "No, my child, not that way, not that way, not at this time." But we must trust him in those times. And like I said, don't allow the devil to spew falsehoods at us at those times, because that's when he'll come. But then this kind of raises another question. Are there specific reasons why sometimes God chooses not to answer prayer? And the answer is yes. Scripture actually gives us a number of them. If you look at Psalm chapter 66, this is one that I didn't give, I don't believe. So if you turn with me, please, to Psalm chapter 66. It may be in your handout. If it's in there, then you don't have to turn. The better version's in the Bible. I think I only gave her half of the verse. Psalm chapter 66, starting in verse 16. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. He says here, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And what that's saying is, if we choose to regard iniquity, or another way you could say that is to harbor iniquity in our hearts towards us, God very may well choose not to hear our prayers and to not answer them. And by hear, I don't mean, and the writer doesn't mean that God doesn't hear us praying. He knows we're praying. It's not that he can't answer those prayers or he won't answer those prayers, or it's more along the lines that he won't answer those prayers rather than the fact that he doesn't hear them. But we need to be careful about this. So if we go through a season where we're praying for something and we're not seeing that prayer answered, what we really need to do is sometimes take a good look inside. Search your own conscience. Search your heart. Are you harboring unrepentant anger towards someone else? Has someone wronged you in a certain way and you're refusing to forgive them? You know, do you have someone in your life that whenever you hear their name or you see them across a room, your blood starts to boil and you become angry because there's this malice inside of you for that person? Well, according to this text, then if that's the case, God very well may not be answering your prayers because you have this unrepentant iniquity that you're harboring inside of you. Think of the parable of the wicked servant. You know, there's this servant who owes an immense amount of money to his master, an amount of money that he would never be able to work and pay off ever if he worked every day of his life. And the master comes and forgives him of that debt. And then that servant, what does he do? He goes out and finds someone that owes him $20, grabs him around the neck, shakes him, tells him to pay his money. The guy can't pay. He goes to the debtor's prison and throws him in jail over something so small. And then the master says to that servant, "You wicked servant, I forgave you so much and you didn't even forgive this person such a meaningless little thing." That's kind of what we're looking at here. You know, what right do we have to ask God to answer our prayers if we're unwilling to forgive people of such little menial things that they've done to us? So be careful. Be careful that we're not harboring iniquity towards another person, because that could be a reason why our prayers are not being answered. Here's another one. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, he's speaking about husbands and wives, dwell with them, your wife, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. What's Peter saying now? Peter's saying, if you're not being a good husband to your wife, God may be choosing to not answer your prayers for that reason. So, men, if your prayers are not being answered, ask yourself, are you being a good husband to your wife? Does she feel loved by you? Does she feel like she's being taken care of? Not only physical health and food and clothing, but emotionally. Does she feel like she lives in an environment where she can be heard and has a voice? And is she thoroughly being understood? Is she flourishing under your care? These are questions we should be asking ourselves. Don't look at your wife right now. We don't want to stir up any strife right now. But these are good questions. How about this one? Do you even know the answer to those questions, men? Have you asked your wife? Don't ask her now, like I said, but a lot of times, wives, help your husbands out too. A lot of times we have no idea when we're screwing things up. That's just the honest truth. So it's a way that you can help your husband where he's possibly messing up, not knowing about it, and his prayers are being hindered. So help him out. And don't think you're off the hook either, wives. Just because Peter said this to husbands, we could very well apply that to everyone. You know, are you being a good wife to your husband? Are you respecting him? Are you stifling him? Are you allowing him to lead? You know, these are all the things that we need to think about. Because these very well could be answers or reasons why our prayers aren't being answered. Here's another reason. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now this is talking about praying with actual genuine faith. And I, for myself, can say, and I'm sure we all can say, there's times when we can find ourselves guilty of praying without true faith. And sometimes we even doubt that God will hear our prayers, that he will answer our prayers. And this is pretty serious because James doesn't just say, you know, he may not answer our prayers, but he considers that person double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Those are pretty serious accusations. But what does this all mean? You know, and it means just this. If we pray for something or ask God to move in a certain way or ask him to work or grant us something or help us with something, whatever it may be, but as the words come out of our mouths, if we were to look inside and check our hearts and ask ourselves, do we truly believe that God will move? Do we truly believe that he can move? Do we have that ironclad faith in God and that he has the power, the ability to answer this prayer and to move? Or do we... do we look inside and see subtle doubts? You know, we may doubt that he's listening. We may doubt that he even cares about this. We may even doubt if this is according to his will. So why even bother? If this prayer that I have is not according to God's will, why even bother? And the answer is, you know, God sees our heart. If we're praying for someone, say for instance, we find out someone has stage 4 cancer and the doctor's given them 6 months to live. Are we praying for that person with sincere faith in our heart that God can work a miracle and heal that person? Or do we find ourselves feeling almost like this is a useless prayer because we're relying on the wisdom of this doctor who says that this person has no chance of surviving this? Or do we pray really putting our faith in God to move and to work a miracle in this case? You know, that's what I'm talking about here. That's the kind of faith we need to have. We shouldn't worry about whether it's according to his will or not, because God will work all things according to his will. Like I said, God sees our heart while he hears our prayers. If he hears these prayers coming out of our heart or out of our mouth, but then he looks at our heart and he sees this doubt in our hearts that doubts whether he can do this, then he very well may choose not to do that by just seeing our lack of faith. He may say that since you doubt, I certainly will not do this. So we must be careful when we pray to have that absolute faith in God. Faith that when we ask him to do something, that he has the power to do it, he has the ability to do it, and if it is according to his will, he will move, he will act. And he can do that. Now, this kind of, there's another side of this that we also have to look at. It's very possible that we can pray for something with absolute faith in God, and we still see that prayer not be answered. Not be answered maybe in the way that we'd like it, at least. And the simple reason being is we are, our desires and what we would like to see happen doesn't coincide with God's perfect will and with God's ultimate plan. So once again, we have to be careful how we react to that. We have to be careful not to become angry with God. We have to be careful to not allow the devil to cause us to doubt God's love for us. We have to be careful not to interpret God's decision not to answer our prayers as being a symptom of poor faith on our behalf. You can see how that's, people can easily fall into that trap. And like I said, the devil will try to tempt us to do that. And it's hard to defend against that. You know, how do we know? Are we praying with little faith, or is this just not according to God's will? It's a hard question to ask, and it's very hard to determine the answer to that, whether we're actually praying with full faith or just even the inkling of a doubt. And we need to just guard ourselves. We need to guard against our own flesh telling us to fall into despair. We need to guard against the attacks of the devil during these times. But just because our prayers aren't being answered doesn't mean that we should lose faith in God. We need to trust in His ultimate plan, because ultimately that's what we need to do here. What we're trying to do here is to find peace in our unanswered prayers. So how do we do that? How do we really find peace when we go through one of these times where our prayers are not being answered and we feel like there's nothing that's causing that I don't have any unrepentant anger towards someone. I'm doing everything I should. I feel like I have full faith in God, but I'm not seeing this happen. And the truth of the matter is, you know, we need to remember God is sovereign. He ordains all things to happen the way that He wants them to happen. And they're going to happen the way He wants to happen. We need to remember that nothing ever happens that is apart from His will or out of His control. We also need to remember that He's not some cold, heartless deity that we serve who completely has no regard for our desires, for the things we want to see happen in our lives. He's not like some pagan god that is just out there doing His own thing with complete disregard for these people, or even playing games with our lives that cause us to come into distress. The truth of the matter is, He hasn't ordained what will happen to us with an absolute disregard for our well-being and our desires. He takes these things into account. But, I mean, and we see that in Romans chapter 8, in verse 28, he says, "And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." And what that means is, no matter what happens to us, no matter, God may take us through hard times, God may take us through good times, God will choose to not answer some of our prayers, God will choose to answer some of our prayers, but His will for our lives ultimately will work out for good. Not necessarily for our joy, not necessarily for our happiness, not necessarily for the things we want to see done, but for good. For the good of His kingdom is the ultimate goal. So sometimes that means that the desires of our heart simply don't fit into His plan. Sometimes that means we need to wait longer than we'd like to see things happen. Sometimes that means that we need to suffer. We need to experience the heartache of losing a loved one. But we do know that all things according that are in God's plan are working out for His ultimate goal, And that's just one more thing that we should find peace in. So when we find ourselves praying for something over and over, and we don't see that prayer being answered, once again, we find our peace in the promises of God, the promises that God hears us, the promises that He loves us, the promises that He's working all these things together for good. You know, we read in Isaiah, His ways are not our ways. We see things immediate right here. We don't see the big picture. Remember, Paul had a thorn in his flesh that he pleaded with God for three times over to be removed from him. And God said, I'm not going to remove this from you. Instead, he says what? My grace is sufficient for you. Meaning, I'll help you through this. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to walk through this with you. But I'm not going to take it away from you. So when we pray for something and we don't see God act, what helps is to imagine Him saying, like that father to his son, no, my child, not this way, not your way, but trust me, because I love you. I'm working this out together for good, but no, we can't do it that way. It helps to remember that God is a God of love, that God is sovereign, that He loves us more than we would ever be able to understand. Now, there's even times, and some of you may have experienced this, where some people are blessed enough to see in their lives how unanswered prayers have worked out for the better. And what a blessing that is. How sometimes you can find that if you look back, you were praying for something so hard and that prayer wasn't answered, but it turned out working out for the best for you. I mean, I'll give you a pretty quick example from our lives. 5 or 6 years ago, for a living, I buy houses, fix them up, and sell them. And a house came up for sale. It was under auction, and I was super excited about this house. I thought, this is going to be a steal. We're going to do so well on this house, I can't imagine. And it was an online auction. We placed a bid. We prayed about this. We thought for sure we were going to get this. We were very conservative with our bid, and lo and behold, we didn't get it. And I was just so frustrated and discouraged. And here we come to find out, only 2 months later, the house that we now live in, through a miracle of God, it ended up coming up available. We were able to buy that house, which has honestly changed the pathway of our livelihood, where we live. I know that sounds kind of odd, but it's true. And if I would have gotten that original house, we would have never been able to financially been able to buy the house we live in now. And just looking back, like, that seems like such a small thing, but that's like, that was really impactful to me to realize, wow, I was so upset. And this was 6 years ago, Dan. If any of you guys knew me back then, it was easy to get me upset, but I was really upset. And that was something that God said, no, see, look, I've got your back. I know what's better for you. I know what's good for you. Trust me in this. So if you've had those experiences, those are huge faith-building experiences where you can trust God. So that when these times come where you see your prayers not being answered, you know that His will is definite. What He ordains is going to happen, and it's going to work out for good. So we need to trust in Him and rely upon Him for that. Now, one final thing I want to note is that we need to remember that just because God doesn't answer a prayer right away doesn't mean that we can assume that it's not according to His will and that He's never going to answer that prayer. So we don't stop praying. Look at Luke chapter 18 with me. I think it's actually in your handout. I don't actually have a handout up here. I'm not a very good student of myself. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus says, starting in verse 1, "Then He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." So what are we seeing here? This widow came to this judge for something, and originally he wasn't going to do it, but then she persisted and persisted and persisted, and then the judge agreed to do it. So what is Jesus trying to say here? Well, let me tell you, our prayers will not change God's plan. What he's not saying, if God's will says he's going to do one thing, and we nag him and nag him and nag him and nag him, then he's going to change his will and follow our direction. That's not at all what he's saying. But the truth of the matter is, we don't exactly know what he's saying. No one can really say how prayer affects the way God's will works. No one can really say for sure how this all works. But we do know what he's telling us is to be persistent. He's telling us to ask, to seek, to knock, as we read earlier. He says, don't stop asking. Don't lose faith. Don't lose faith because you don't see immediate results, or it seems like it's something that is never going to happen. Don't lose heart. Keep asking. Keep knocking. According to this passage, drive the judge nuts until he answers the prayer. That's really how we need to be. Cast our prayers upon God. Trust in him. Have faith in him. Have faith in those prayers. At the same time, guard our hearts. Make sure we're not harboring iniquity towards others. Make sure we're not being unloving towards our spouse. Make sure we're not asking him prayers without complete faith in him, that he can move and can work according to his will. Have faith that he hears us. Have faith that he can move. Have faith that he's willing to move for us. We need to be people who don't give up praying just because we don't see immediate results. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking until, if it's according to God's will, he will open the door. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, this is a mystery, Father. How our prayers work is a mystery to us. But there's some things that we know for certain, Lord. We know that you are good. We know that you are love. We know that you hear our prayers. We know that you see the desires of our hearts. And we know that you work all things together for good. Lord, I just ask that you will help us to rest in that. Help us to find peace in that. We all go through times where we pray for things and it seems that they're not answered, Lord. But I just ask that you will just give us peace in those times. Help us to remember the truths that you've given us. Help us to remember the things we know about you. Protect us from the doubts and the accusations and the temptations of the devil as he tries to lead us into despair and despondency and into a lack of faith of you. Instead, help us to stand strong in our faith in you, Father. Lord, I do ask that you will hear our prayers. You promise that you will hear our prayers, Father, but please move. We all have things on our hearts, even right now. Things that we would love to see happen. Loved ones we would love to see healed. Family members and co-workers we would love to see come to know you. Lord, I ask you will just hear our prayers. Move, Father. But if these prayers are not according to your will, I ask that you will give us peace in that. And I ask that you will just give us faith to continue to trust you and lean upon you. Lord, I ask that you will just guide us. Show us your will, Father. Help us become strong in our prayer lives. Help us become diligent. Help us to never stop asking. Help us to never stop, help us never lose that faith in you that we need to have, Father. Lord, we thank you for all you've given us. Thank you so much for the gift of your Son. Lord, I ask you will just be with the rest of this day as Scott comes to close us out, Father. Just minister to us all. We thank you so much, Lord. We love you and pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.